Last time we began a sermon series on More Than Conquerors. Who remembers that sermon series, More Than Conquerors, right? Who remembers what we were talking about last time? All right. Кто помнит? What, can you guys remember what were we talking about last time? The battle, right? The battle's not yours. Whose battle is it? All right, who remembers what happened with like Gabe and Johnny? What was that whole thing about? Hanging on to what? So standing on the word of God. Who kind of remembers all this that we were talking about? More than conquerors, right? So first you said, stand on the word of God. So stand on who you are in Christ first. What do you stand on? The word of God. Hold your position before God and see that salvation, right? Amen. Awesome. So we're going to kind of keep going in that spirit, more than conquerors, all right? Somebody say amen. 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 All right. Wonderful. Man. And we're going to talk about the full idea of what it is to be more than a conqueror. Who likes it when somebody does something nice for them? Raise your hand, right? That's cool, yeah. Like, Johnny made this slide for me, for my sermon today, and his sermon last time. But it's nice that he made that, you know, and I didn't have to do that, you know. Or I like to joke around with my wife sometimes. We had this basket in the corner, and I throw my socks and dirty clothes in there, and a couple days later, they get washed. And I'm like, babe, that's a magical basket. Every time I put something in there, next week, it's washed and folded in my drawers. Like, you got to try this out. You know, I kind of joke around. Of course, I know that she does it. But it's just, we like it when somebody does something nice for us. Amen? If you guys have your Bibles, open up to Romans 8:33. Romans 8:33. And this whole idea of somebody doing something nice for us, it's pleasant to us, right? We like it. I love it when my wife cleans up after me. Even though I probably should do it myself, but I love it when she does it for me, right? And just simple things like that. She feeds me every single morning. She's just an amazing wife. Yes, indeed. But Romans 8:33 goes something like this. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who's at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. So, we're going to just kind of go verse by verse today, all right? So, just take a verse, we're going to kind of dissect it and go into it deeper, you know, and that's just going to be kind of how we're going to be looking at these verses today and how to be an overcomer. So, talking about somebody doing something nice for me, and maybe you guys have had somebody, you know, pay for your coffee, or maybe you guys had somebody pay forward, you know, like when you're in the drive-thru line, all of a sudden somebody pays for your food, and you're like, wow, that's so nice. Everybody have that done to them? Nobody. Well, Colorado's not as nice as Idaho, I guess. But in Boise, I remember we had this radio station, and it was promoting this idea of pay it forward. And it gave out these little cards, you know, and pretty much what happened is the person in front of the line pays for his food and the person behind him, and he leaves them a card, like a little business card, and then when the next person would drive up to the window, you know, that person gets the actual card and it says like Jesus loves you or something on it. And then that person would pay for the person behind him and leave that same card, you know, just keeps going and going and going. So we as people, we like it when something nice is being done to us. But verse 33 here says, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Right? So you guys got to understand something. As human beings, we as believers, we have been justified by God. There has been a justification that has been taking place on the cross for us. This is something that has been done for us. Something that we could not do ever. Christ Jesus already did it for us. This is called justification. You know, when we died on the cross, when we have entrusted our lives to Christ Jesus, we have been justified. And Apostle Paul is saying, nobody can bring a charge against God's elect because they did not justify themselves. Christ justified them. Amen? How awesome is that? Who loves that kind of free gift? Got really loud up here all of a sudden. Praise God. When we hide ourselves in Christ and who God is, and what he has done, You can't bring a charge against us. You see, we as believers, when we hide ourselves in the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord, He died for my sins, I am justified, but not by what I do, but what He has already done for me on the cross. When we do that, nobody can bring a charge against us. Nobody. Amen? Amen. He already brought you into position of a conqueror. I want you guys to remember that. When we hide ourselves in Christ, that's Christ. You're putting yourself in position of a conqueror. I know our theme is more than conquerors, but I'm going to talk about the first part, that's just conqueror, before we get to the more than. So, conquerors, right? We get placed into the position of victory when we trust in the justification that Jesus has done for us on the cross. When we entrust that Jesus Christ crucified has paid for all of our sins, He has justified us, and that we don't have to try to earn salvation with our own works or with something that we, you know, we try to strive sometimes. We try to read the Word of God more and more and try to earn our salvation or maintain our salvation. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It teaches that He has justified us. Done. Period. That's it. Next verse, verse 34 goes like this. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. You know, Christ did all the work for us. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Pretty much, we had a price to pay, and Jesus Christ had paid for our price. He has paid it all on the cross. Everything is paid on the cross. We should have tried to pay for our own sins. In the Old Testament, they actually tried to pay for their sins. They tried to, slaughter calves and lambs and all this different stuff to try to cover their own sin, to try to cover their own transgressions. They tried to pretty much go through the law to justify themselves. You know, but this is the New Testament. Because that didn't actually work. It worked to an extent, but it didn't work. You know, but Jesus Christ, He died for us on the cross. He justified us. He was placed at the right hand of God. Do you guys know the right hand of God is a position of favor? Like, if somebody's your right hand man, that's your like friend. That's like your best friend. It's a position of favor. So Christ not only paid for our sins, guys, check us out. He not only paid for our sins, not only did He die on the cross to pay for your sins, justified you, not only did He rise again, not only was He placed at the right hand of God, but now He is constantly interceding for us. Bless you, Vanessa. He is constantly interceding for us. Guys, I want you guys to get this in your brains today. Even if the sermon doesn't make sense, I want you guys to understand this, okay? Jesus Christ is interceding for you continually. Somebody say constantly. Constantly. So Jesus Christ is constantly interceding for you to God. He is constantly praying for you to God. He is constantly like, Julian, like, Father, Julian, bless him in this and that and that. You know, He's constantly interceding for you. He wants you to succeed. God is a good, loving Father. And Jesus, He's sitting there at the right hand of God. He's like, God, I'm praying for Mila right now. I'm praying that she does well on this and that, or whatever she's going through right here, through every up and down. Jesus Christ is interceding for you in your life. Ain't that awesome? Amen. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who should separate us from the love of Christ? You know, if we go to Luke 22, verse 31 to 34, we see this really interesting passage here where Apostle Peter is talking to Jesus, and Jesus is about to be crucified. And Jesus says, you know, Apostle Peter's like, yo, Jesus, I'm your man, and I'm going to love you till the end or whatever. And Jesus says, you know, you're gonna reject me three times today before. No, you're gonna reject me three times before the crow does his thing, right? And so verse 31, 34. I'll just read it with you guys real quick. Simon, Simon, this is Jesus speaking. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. Right? In this passage, we see like there's this really interesting scenario, which I don't think it's in any of the other gospels, but Jesus is telling Peter, he's like, dude, Satan is trying to get you. Satan is trying to get you. And look what happens. Jesus is saying, I have prayed for you. I have interceded for you. To when you do fail, when you turn back around again, you can strengthen your brothers. Now we know what happens with Peter. He actually denies that he knows Christ three times, three separate occasions, before the crow does his thing, right? And Satan really badly wanted to get Peter to turn away. And Jesus allowed it to an extent. Right? You guys got to understand that like sometimes things in our life will happen to an extent. And sometimes we will actually start slipping. Or we start falling. And we start making excuses for our sin. We start, you know, making excuses why we're doing what we're doing. Like, for example, man, when I got back from Bible school, I started skipping out on devotions. And I started getting mad at people around me. Started getting mad at my church. I'm like, nobody here cares about me. They don't care that I just came back from Bible school. They don't care that I need a mentor, that I need somebody to work with me and read with me and be with me, you know. They don't care. They don't even love me. They say amen and hallelujah at church, but during the weekday, they don't even care. They're not really living their Christianity. You know, and that right there really angered me. So I used that as a crutch to stop doing my devotions. You know, a lot of times we make an excuse for our sin or our lifestyle by saying, man, I'm hurt. Man, I got hurt by that. Or God will save me anyways. Or saying stuff like, nobody really cares about me. You know, but, and we see here that Jesus actually let Peter fall away a little bit, right? Jesus actually told him, like, bro, you're going to deny me three times. But when you turn again, you're going to strengthen your brothers. So what I want to talk about today is being more than a conqueror, you know, because a conqueror just means we conquered over sin and death. But being more than a conqueror is something greater, right? It's more than a conqueror. It's more than just defeating sin and death. It's more than just overcoming a certain addiction or overcoming a certain trial or tribulation. There's something more to that. There's a whole nother level. A whole nother level, right? And what I'm getting at is, we don't preserve ourselves. Christianity is not about self-preservation. It's not about maintaining your salvation. I'll tell you what, guys, if you can lose your salvation, you would have lost your salvation. You would have lost it. I would have lost it a long time ago. You know, a lot of times we think, man, like, every morning I have to ask for forgiveness, or every night before I go to bed I have to ask for forgiveness. Maybe something I've done, you know, made me fall away from God. And like today the preacher was saying about his mother, you know, his mother is like, oh, I didn't even repent yet before my heart stopped, and I'm glad that I got back so I can repent again. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You are already a conqueror. You have already been justified by Christ. Justified by Christ himself. Now you are more than a conqueror. But that's not to say Jesus is not going to let you slip sometimes. Maybe because of our own stubbornness, we're going to start slipping sometimes, right? We're going to think, hey, I got this all on my own. The Bible says, the one who stands, or take heed lest he falls, right? And pride comes before the fall. So sometimes we think, man, I'm good. My relationship with God, I'm good. I still pray sometimes. I still read the Bible. I still listen to worship songs sometimes. I'm fine. But take heed lest you fall. In Romans 6, you know, Paul has this interesting conversation with the Romans. says like this, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, we too might walk in newness of life." You know, the Romans were saying, hey, if we never lose our salvation, then we can live however we want to. There is no consequences. I can live however I want to. But Apostle Paul is saying here right now, he's like, if you are saved, why would you want to live like that? Amen? If a person is saved, they have to have a certain attributes of their salvation. You can see that they're saved. You can see they're striving. You can see their goal. Their goal is not to live in their sin anymore. Their sin is now disgusting to them, and they want to strive for something better and something holy, something different, right? They want to strive for more of God every single day. So Apostle Paul is saying, that's not how it works. Yes, sin does cover you. Our grace does cover you. You and all your sin. It covers every single thing in your life. But we don't live like a yard dog after that. We live like chosen people. We live like Christians. Amen? You know, another person that fell away who was walking really close with Jesus was actually Judas. You guys remember what happened to him? Right, he literally fell away. So the Bible kind of shows us sometimes that people that even walk with Jesus, people that come to church and that come into the fellowship of the saints, people that, because we hear a lot of stories of preachers that fall away. We hear a lot of stories of people that claim to be Christians and that, you know, commit adultery and all this different stuff and they fall away. We see here that there's Peter and there's Judas that both fell away. Both of them denied Christ. One of them betrayed Christ. The other one denied him 3 times. One of them committed suicide. The other one ended up being an amazing apostle and wrote some of the books in the New Testament. So if we claim that we are alive in Christ, we must live like it. Amen? So back to Romans 8:35. Is everybody with me? Am I going too quickly? We should probably, let's just repeat some stuff just in case. You know? Over and over again. I'm kidding. Okay, Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Now, verse 36, who has their Bibles open? Verse 36, in my Bible, it's like in a different kind of italicized, right? It's got a different kind of font. And if you look at it, that's actually from Psalms 44:22. It says, "As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." So like, so pretty much during this time where Apostle Paul is writing to the people in Romans, they were going through some persecution. So persecution started taking place around 50 AD, around there somewhere, maybe 49, 50 AD. And this is written about 55 AD. So Apostle Paul is writing to them, and this church is going through tribulations and through everything. So he's writing to them like, what is going to separate you from the love of God? Will a sword, will anything else separate you from the love of God? It's obviously rhetorical. Right? But nothing can separate us from the love of God, because Jesus Christ is doing what?
Interceding.
Jesus Christ is interceding for us at the right hand of God. He is constantly praying for you at the right hand of God. He's constantly just interceding for you at the right hand of God. It's not something that we do to be more than conquerors. The reason why we are more than conquerors is because Jesus Christ is interceding for us at the right hand of God. He is constantly praying for us. He's constantly rooting for us. He's constantly loving us. The reason why he's actually interceding for you is because he loves you. He loves you as his child. So verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. As a matter of fact, is what Paul writes. As a matter of fact, instead of being separated from the love of God, instead of being separated by something on this earth from the love of God, no, man, we are being interceded for by Jesus Christ himself, who is seated at the right hand of God. He is constantly praying for you. He is constantly rooting for you. He loves you. He loves you. Amen. So we're not only conquerors, we're actually more than conquerors. But not because something that you do, because Christ does it for you. He is seated at the right hand of God, constantly interceding for you, for your soul. The author and finisher of our faith. Man, if we rely on our own strength, like, who's ever tried to do that? Try to rely on their own strength to be like holy for a week or something. Raise your hand. Nobody did that before? Yeah. Some people, yeah. No, I'm not the only one. Okay. Yeah, like when you rely on your own strength, you're like, man, I'm going to read my Bible like every single day, like at least a chapter. My mother used to always tell me, she's like, Mark, read at least a chapter a day. And I failed at that all the time, you know. I had a little orange New Testament, and I would like open it up, and I would read like the first verse, and I'll get tired, and I'll go to bed, you know. We're like, man, I probably should do some push-ups instead, because I was kind of a pudgy kid. I was like, man, well, if I'm reading the Bible, I probably should do some push-ups and stuff, you know, and just like stuff like that, because I tried relying on my own strength to try to maintain my salvation. You know, whenever you rely on your own strength, it never works out. Whenever you rely on the fact that, man, I'm gonna pray harder, or I'm gonna worship harder, I'm gonna go to all the functions of church, I'm gonna go to all the worship services, I'm gonna go to all the practices, you know, I'm gonna be at church 5 days a week. That's not gonna save you. That's not gonna preserve you. That's not gonna make you more than a conqueror. Jesus Christ is the one who does that for us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not through us ourselves, but through him who first loved us. The one who chose you. The one who elected you. The one who gave you life when you were dead in your sins. Amen? You see, not only did he love us, but when we were dead in our sins, he died for us. You know, not only did he die for us and make us conquerors, but he saved us and he adopted us into his family. Not only did he adopt us into his family, but he gave us a mission. You know, and he said, go out and represent me. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. Go out into the world and represent me at your job, at your school, at any place that you are. Go out and you're representing me. But not only did he send us out to represent him, he has given us his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1, verse 11 to 14. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You know, this is talking about an inheritance that we get. Think about it like this, like a down payment. You guys know what a down payment is? Like, you guys ever heard of that? Who doesn't know what a down payment is? Okay, I'll explain it anyways. Okay, so when you go to buy a house, right? You put a 10% down. Let's say the house is $100,000. You put down $10,000 down payment or whatever it is, $1,000 down payment. And that's pretty much saying like, hey, this is the money I have now. I'm going to put it down right here. It's down, you give them down payment straight across. and now I'm going to just pay you monthly or weekly or yearly, whatever it is, right? So Christ, he actually sealed us. Not only did he pay for our sins, he actually sealed us for an inheritance. He gave us the Holy Spirit for a purpose. You see, we get a promise of the inheritance because his Holy Spirit has sealed us. Verse 14. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So when we become saved, when we give our lives to Christ, man, you have been sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit for an inheritance, for an inheritance in Christ Jesus. We have been sealed, amen? Somebody say sealed. Yeah, come on. Man, I'm talking about through the ups and downs of life. Like, you guys have those down parts of life? When it seems like nothing's going right, when you fall back into the same addictions that you were in before. Or maybe you're in an up part of life when you're like, wow, you know, I'm closer to God than ever. You know, I have a ministry now. Or I have this and that. Through all those moments, your ups and downs, Christ has been interceding for you. Christ has been loving you. You were sealed that whole time. Those times when you felt like, dude, I'm back in this old sin again, or I'm back in the same place again where I don't feel God, or I'm back in the same place again where I don't have a relationship with him anymore, and it feels like I've lost my salvation because I'm doing the things I was doing before, and they disgust me, and I hate this place that I'm in right now. God was loving you then. You were sealed then with a promise for an inheritance at those moments in your life. You know, through all of it, Christ has been interceding for you. You know, maybe you haven't experienced God like in months or in years, right? And you just come here and you maybe go through the motions. And you just like, just another service, you know? Like, you can worship, you can sing, raise your hands, and then just go home and just forget about it all. And it becomes this vague Christianity. Well, we don't live what we preach. We don't live what we sing about. Well, we just sing the words because they sound cool. Or we, you know, like the beats. Or we like the chords. And a lot of times we don't focus on who Jesus is. And that he has made us more than a conqueror. Not because of something that we have done, but because of something that he's done for us on the cross. Who can condemn you when Christ has justified you? Who? Nobody can condemn you when Christ has justified you. Nobody. You know, I think Peter thought he lost his salvation too when he denied Christ. You know, when he denies Christ, he says he wept bitterly. Because he denied him three times and all of a sudden he hears the rooster crow. And he's like, he starts weeping bitterly. You know, but you have that seal, that guarantee that you are more than a conqueror. Guys, I want you guys to understand that you are more than a conqueror, not because of you, but because of what Christ has done for you at the cross. And not only what he has done at the cross, but what he is doing right now at the right hand of God. He's doing what? Yeah, he's interceding for you. That's what he's doing right now. So back to Romans 8. Let's just finish it off real quick. Before we start to pray, back to Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not your parents, not your president, not your circumstance, not the people around you, not the people that are with you, not even you can separate you from the love of God. Because that's how much you know, when he died on the cross, he didn't only die for your past sins, but for your present sins and for your future sins. Amen. Don't doubt the love that Christ has for you. You guys understand, Jesus Christ loves you so much. He is still interceding for you. Like, I'm a pretty screwed up guy. I need a lot of intercession. Like, a lot of intercession. But Jesus Christ keeps interceding for me. He keeps interceding for you over and over and over again. That's what makes you more than a conqueror. It's not how you fight your battles. It's not how the words you say when you pray. It's not how you read your Bible or whatever. But it's what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors because He has first loved us. Amen. You know, this Jesus, not only is He interceding for you, but He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to have a face-to-face relationship with you. Actually, one more thing I wanted to say. The Holy Spirit is not just tongues. Also, I forgot to say that, huh? The Holy Spirit is not just tongues. A lot of times we think, man, the Holy Spirit is just tongues. And when we speak in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit. That's it. But He's actually a person. He's not a human. He's a person. He's a person we can talk to, a person that we can have an intimacy with, a relationship with. He's also the seal of our inheritance. But I'm kind of backtracking now. So literally nothing will, nothing can separate you from the love of God. He's constantly loving you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. And just Jesus wants you to experience His love. And if you guys never heard the gospel message before, you know, in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve first sinned, all of creation, like all of it, went into this sinful nature. We as humans, we're born with sinful natures. Little babies, they're born with sinful natures. Everybody has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We always want to sin. We always want to sin. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross for our sins, to cover us, so that when we do sin, we can run to Him and we can be covered by His blood. We can be covered by what He has done for us on the cross, and now what we have done. Amen? So we're going to pray right now. The 506. Hey, we're going to pray right now real quick, so I'll just stand up and pray. And if you guys maybe feel you need prayer, we're going to actually be praying for each other real quick. So just get into like groups of two or three and just start praying for each other. Just pray, just say words of life to each other. Just pray for each other, pray with each other. And if we can have somebody do the keys or something, yeah, that'd be great too, huh? Wonderful. Guys, don't be shy. Let's all pray for each other like a family. You know, when we walk in Christ's love, we must be able to interact with each other in Christ's love too. So don't be even scared to get into groups of four or five over there too. Amen.